Welcome back to another episode of Interview You. This is your host, Lewis Shine, and I have a very special guest on today's show. We're going to jump right into this, so without further ado, I want to welcome to the show Chicago Sky assistant coach, Yuan Cabios. How's it going, man?
I'm great, great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, it's a pleasure. Thanks for welcoming me to the Wintrust Arena, man. And I know it's game day, and you got a lot of, you know, amazing things happening today. Shoot around earlier and different things like that. So we're just going to jump right into it, man, so we can get you back to the team. Let's take this thing way back in terms of basketball. How did basketball start in your life? Like, what was the very first memories of the game in your life?
Well, so first, I'm French, so yep. It was in France back in the days. I'm 34 years old, so it was at maybe 30. It was at 1 year old, maybe. Yeah. I was in the gym because my parents, they created a team in France. Mm-hmm. And so I had to go see all the games and be right there trying to play with the little balls. And that's my first memory.
Good stuff. So at what point in the game that maybe you thought that, you know, you wanted to be a coach? Was that at a young age? Was that later on in life? Like, where was that transition for you to say, you know what, I want to coach this game?
Yeah, at 18 years old.
Yeah.
It was really clear in my mind. I finished high school in France, and I wanted to be a coach because I just felt like I wanted to learn, accumulate some knowledge, and then just teach and decide of the on the sideline, decide who I'm putting on the court, decide the strategy, decide everything, and I really loved that. And I was not a great player, so I couldn't have a huge professional career. That was not possible for me. So, but I still wanted to be in the highest level possible, and so that was the coaching was the. The solution for me.
Yeah, talk a little bit about the French game. You know, the United States game, the French game. We always hear those different comparisons. You know, from players, how it's taught, how it's coached. Talk about, from your perspective, the difference between the two styles of games.
Well, it's a lot of one-on-one here in the States. A lot of one-on-one physicality. Players want to really make the difference by himself or by herself.
Yeah.
But in France, it's more a collective approach, passing game. And then I want to say that in because of the NCAA, the university here, basketball is a solution for some kids, boys and girls, to achieve something and to actually earn some money. And it's not easy to do. So it's a lot of competition here in the States, more than in France.
Yeah.
In France, it's easier to be professional, actually. Here it's harder, so I want to say that it's more fighters here in the States. It's really more engaged physically in the game than in France. But in France, we do have, because of the African players too that are in France, a lot of physicality too and a lot of athleticism that we use, but the approach is more team than here.
Gotcha. So you spent a lot of time in both places.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about your time coaching overseas, but then, you know, just the transition of, just give us a snapshot of being over there and then transitioning over here, like immediately after. What is that? Walk us through that a little bit.
Well, so yeah, I've been a head coach in France for 15 years, but I started from the very bottom, like on the lowest division, and then I was able to, through four different teams, to go from this bottom division to the Euro Cup and the first division in France. So that was my journey in like last 10, 12 years. And here, I'm working with this guy for 5 years now. So every time the season is finished here, I go back straight home in France to coach the team. And then every time in France it's done, I come back here. So I don't really have vacation since COVID, but it's really nice. I have to adjust sometimes. Of course, the language is the first thing, even if in France I coach in English too, because we have foreigners, we have American players or even other European countries players. So I coach in English every time.
I see.
Everywhere. But it's more the mentality, how to approach, and the level, because the WNBA is the best level of the world, so I have to adjust some stuff that I teach or that I ask or that I analyze or that I see, comparing to the Europe. It's still a good level because it's the best level in Europe, but it's just not the same.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about, you know, some of the success. I know that with the Chicago Sky, you have a championship ring, and you were a part of that experience. Just maybe share with us a few of those memories and even some of your success overseas that are good memories for you.
Well, of course, here in 2021, we won the championship. Yeah. That was a huge memory. 2 years ago, I was a video coordinator and player development also with some guards.
Yep.
So my role was not as big as now, but it was still important. And that's what I really like here in the States, is that everybody's in the team or in the staff feels appreciated. And especially we were with Coach James Wade, that makes sure that everybody feels appreciated like this. So it was nice. And sharing that with a family like we had 2 years ago, and it was really amazing. It was really amazing, especially we went through a difficult season because we were 16-16, sixth place, and it just clicked in the playoffs, and then we beat Phoenix 3-1, and it was really amazing for me as a French guy, be able to have a ring today and live this moment. It was just amazing for me. And then in Europe, I mean, last year we won the French League and we won the Euro Cup with Lyon as well. It's the Tony Parker's team, so it was very nice too, because I feel like we had a lot of games and only two coach in the team. It was only the head coach and the assistant coach. I'm the assistant coach. I was in charge of the defense, the scouting, the analysis of our game, and the player development too. And so it was really tiring. I was exhausted at the end, but sharing that with the players, that we were a family too, and it was really amazing. And especially beating Galatasaray in the final, it's a Turkish team. We won by 39 games the first leg, the 39 points, sorry, the first leg of the final. So that was just unexpected.
Man, that's good stuff, man. Seems like you had some success, man, and, you know, just growing in the game. And talk to us a little bit about some of your favorite areas of just being a part of the game, you know, just coaching. Like, is it the player development? Is it the actual games itself? Like, what do you thrive off of?
Well, so James Wade brought me here to be a video coordinator. Mm-hmm. He wanted somebody with a head coach experience, even if it was not at the biggest level, but still a head coach mentality. Mm-hmm. So I could see the game and try to analyze stuff through the software that we have, Sports Code. And understand his mind too.
Yeah.
So I've developed, with the help of James, of course, that told me everything he wanted.
Yeah.
I've developed like kind of a software on Sports Code to analyze our game offensively, defensively, and be able to see the video, see the clip, show to the players, show to us in the meeting.
Yeah.
Very easily. So that was the first thing why I was here. But my favorite thing in coaching is really the strategic part, the collective, the team part, what choice we have to make offensively, defensively to beat the opponent. It's more like what plays we have to run, what situation we have to put the players in, what do we have to do on pick and roll against this player, and that's really how what I prefer in the game.
And speaking of Coach Wade, you know, I had an opportunity to connect with him. He spoke at one of my coaches' conferences and worked with one of the local high school teams that was there with him. So it was pretty cool. But just with the wealth of knowledge that he has, just talk about what it's meant to you just to have someone, you know, you being a coach, you growing in the game, but have someone that, you know, has that kind of wisdom just to kind of bring you here, but also just to just depart, like I know he probably has, giving you a lot of different wisdom. Like, what has that meant to you?
Well, first, I know I couldn't experience all of that if he wasn't there and gave me my opportunity, my chance 5 years ago. So I'll be forever thankful because I know that. And then he's somebody that feels the game like nobody else I've ever met before. He feels the stuff, sometimes can't really explain it, but you just feel it. Like, when you see a situation, everybody will see something, but he'll see something different that explains the whole situation.
Yeah.
So this feels that he has for the game is really amazing, and that teach me a lot, because I learned a lot during, staying with him and talking to him, and it was really amazing.
Yeah.
Really amazing.
Yeah, it's nothing like, man, being able to feel the game. Like, it's honestly, it's one of those, in my time of coaching, it's one of those unspoken, unlearned type of things. It's just like a gut, you just feel things. And I've seen the coaches that do that kind of stuff, it really sets them apart.
Yeah, so I can tell more in details what I think. It's really, sometimes you want to see the situation and you want to understand the great read of the situation. Oh yeah, but because the defense does this, we should do that. Yeah, but what if the player in action, this is the strength of the player. Yeah. And so this is what she wants to do because that's her strength.
Yeah.
And then you start analyzing the context differently. Oh, but yeah, she does that because she's a great three-point shooter. Just an example.
Yep.
Oh, she does that because she doesn't want to get big on her left. Whatever stuff
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
But then now, since I'm here in the WNBA, I try to put everything I see in basketball in the context. Okay, they're doing something, maybe it's a mistake, but why? And how does it, like, why these mistakes happen or why this situation is made like this is just because of the context.
Yeah, yeah, it's so important. I love, like, thinking the game, watching the game, and honestly, kind of like what you were saying, too, when you allow a player to freely, you know, dictate a play, maybe it's not even a play that's ran, but they see a different read. It really can open up things on the court that even us as coaches don't see.
Yeah.
You know, so I like what you were saying there. What is your favorite part? I mean, there's been so much that has been talked about the women's game. I coach women's college basketball, so I love the women's game. Like, what is one of your favorite parts of being a part of the women's game, the WNBA?
Well, first, as always, put that in the context. In France, it's nothing like the WNBA. Mm-hmm. So for me, being able to go from the lowest division in the world to the WNBA,
yeah.
it's already amazing for me to be here.
Yeah.
Now, once that being said, I want to do something here. And so what I like from the WNBA is the way it grows, the way it develops. I can already see a difference since 2019 mm-hmm. in the coaching staff, the organization of the coaching staff.
Yeah.
We had only 5 coaches. Now in the sky, we have, with the player development coach, we have like probably nine people that are working with the players,
mm-hmm.
If it's not more. So it's really growing, and I like to be a part of the process of the growth of the WNBA. And then the women's basketball, what I like in women's basketball is that most of the time, they want to do what's best for the team.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes some players think that what's best for the team is them playing one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Well, so we have to adjust that. Sometimes it's true, sometimes it's less true. But most of the time they're team-oriented.
Yeah.
And it's really like appreciable as a coach or as an assistant coach to coach player that wants to think team first.
Yeah.
That's really what I like in women's basketball.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. As we turn this corner a little bit, man, to wind this thing down, I have a lot of coaches, just a lot of different, not only young people, but just those aspiring to be great in the game, whether that's playing or whether that's coaching. Like, tell us something that may have happened, like just in your journey that, you know, happened, but then you overcame it. You know, maybe it was a challenge, maybe it was, you know, whatever the case, but you kept going and you overcame that. And it's just something that when they watch this, they can take this away like, hey, he overcame that and maybe I can too.
So first thing that came in mind for me is at age 18,
mm-hmm.
I wanted to start coaching and I was in my little club in France. And I asked to coach for the under 15 second team.
Yeah.
They couldn't barely dribble, shoot, pass the ball. It was really like terrible level.
Yeah.
And the president of the team, he said, no, we cannot because you have no experience. I'm like, yeah, okay, but like they cannot play. And he said, no, we cannot. And I'm like, oh, okay, so this is where I am.
Yeah.
Like, I am right there, so I have to prove. So then I changed the club and I said, hey, can you give me the fourth team of under 18? Like, really? And yeah, they said, yeah, take it. Nobody wants the team, so take it. And then it was the start of my journey. And I understood at age 18 that I was really nothing.
Yeah.
So yeah, to me that was fun to think about that. And then the second moment is when I arrived here in 2019, so it was a shock because I couldn't really speak English like I can speak now, even mm-hmm. if it's far from perfect, but I can understand at least the stuff. And in 2019, let's say I could understand 50-60%, you know. And it was hard because discovering a new country, a new language, a foreign language, a new style of basketball with this intensity, with high responsibility, because like a lot of people want your spot. Then I was really under pressure. And after practice, I went back home, and at 3 p.m. I fell asleep every day because I was exhausted by the focus I needed in the whole morning of practice about understanding the language, the words, everything was new. So that was really hard. Yeah. And but then it was just an adjustment part, and I worked my ass off to understand more, to memorize more, to talk more, and then now it's just the process. And now I'm on the bench, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, and nothing like being on that bench, man, the sideline, man, as a coach, man. So as we end this thing, man, what's something that you've lived by? You know, it could be a quote, a saying, it could be a scripture, like something that you just carry with you day by day. It may be as you're on the road, going from city to city, before home games, just something that just keeps you inspired.
Wow, it's a lot of things.
Give me your top one.
Wow, find one thing. A lot of people when I was between 20 and 25 years old, they were telling me, but you're too confident.
Yeah.
You don't really listen to others. You think you're the best, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And it was true. Mm-hmm. It was true. And it's this confidence that I never want to lose. Because I know a lot of times in my career, when you lose one game or two games, when it's hard with the player, like difficulties happen all the time in coaching. Then if you're confident in yourself, then you'll be able to go over this and just move on and just keep improving. But I understood at age 25, after a lot of people told me that, I was like, oh, maybe they're right, so let's do something. I just opened my mind, opened my eyes, and trying to listen to everybody.
Yeah.
And so once I did that, everything changed in my career. Like it went so fast after, because I was able to memorize the stuff better and to be open mind to other opinions and stuff like this.
Yeah.
And so that's something I keep in mind all the time. Like even if somebody has a different opinion, I need to be sure of my strength, but I need to listen because maybe he's gonna bring me something.
Yeah.
And the second thing that I always keep in mind now for months or years now, is that if I'm talking to you, it's gonna be different than if I'm talking to somebody else or talking to somebody else, because everybody's different, and it's different types of personalities among the players and the coach. So it's different way to approach the players depending on their personality, different way to challenge them, to understand them, to see their reaction and understand their reaction. So it's something I keep in mind all the time, because I used to, like a lot of coach only one way.
Yeah.
Like, this is how I am. Boom, I'm telling you, you gotta do this like this, bam, bam, bam. But it just doesn't work with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now I understood that you have to adjust the way you coach depending on who you coach.
Yeah, that's good stuff, man. Lastly, we talked a little bit about your family earlier. Yeah. So, and I know like with this coaching thing, I actually was still a coach when I was engaged, and then I got married. I was still coaching for a short time, so I understand how important the family aspect is, because it's a grind coaching. You know, it's always working. You're scouting, you're watching film, you're moving, but then to have that family that's supporting you, like how important is that for you?
Oh man, it's just huge.
Yeah.
It's huge. Because Alice, my wife, and I mean, we're not married yet, but so my partner, I won't say, but and my two kids, Amaya and Simone, it's just amazing the support that I feel from them.
Yeah,
they're always like, oh, it was a good game, or oh, it's okay, you're gonna move on, you'll be okay, and if you want to do this, then do it. I just had a baby. She's Simone is 3 months old only.
Yeah.
But Alice told me, but like the sky is for you. It's a part of your career. It's important. So we support you even remotely. Like so I couldn't do all of that. Same in Lyon last year, it was really hard with the championship and the Euro Cup.
Like
I couldn't do all of that if Alice and Amaya and Simon were not there for with me. That's just so important.
It's
so
important, man. Yeah. And I couldn't imagine. I've never been that far away, you know, but I'm pretty sure those FaceTime calls or when you connect with them are like everything to you, you know?
Yeah.
So, man, this has been awesome, man. I really appreciate this coach just taking time on a game day to just, you know, chat, man, and just talk to my audience about your life and just your experiences and things like that, man. So thanks for allowing me to interview you.
Thank you very much for having me in the podcast. It was a really nice moment.
Yes, sir.
And no, I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem.
Much.
And before we go, can you tell us where can they find you on social if they want to follow your journey or just connect with you there? Can you share your handles with us?
Oh, yeah. So I'm on Twitter or Instagram.
Yeah.
Twitter, you just tag my name. So Y-O-A-N-N is French. And my last name is C-A-B-I-O-C apostrophe H.
Yes,
so that's my name. They just find
there,
that.
There it is. Make sure you connect with him, all right? And I will, wherever you see this, you'll see his handles down low. Or if this is social, you'll see him tagged in the comments. So until next time, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to interview you. We'll see you on the next episode.